Good morning. Grab your Bible or turn it on and turn to Luke chapter 19. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Lord God. Lord, we need you. Pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word. And Lord, I thank you that you don't need me. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. I should say good morning to most of you. I got stomach flu or food poisoning or something. So if I go running for the back room, you'll know why. good morning to those of you online. And let's grab our Bible, chapter 19 of the book of Luke. And we pick up for Palm Sunday, a really classic text, in verse 28. Now, if you were doing a read through in the book of Luke, you'd know that, interestingly, way back in chapter 9 is where Jesus set his sights on Jerusalem. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. He taught all along the way. And in this particular text, in fact, even as Todd shared, Jesus comes as king. But interestingly, Luke puts something together for us in a way that I will bring out today, that he's a king of peace in this particular passage. Let's read. Verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down from down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he replied, 'I tell you, if they were quiet, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the word of the Lord. So today we're going to look at peace in kind of three parts. The city of peace, the ride of peace, and the praise of peace. First of all, we know that Jesus is going to Jerusalem, right? Do you remember what Jerusalem means? It literally means foundation of peace. And I don't know about you, but I mean, we all think of many towns have nicknames, right? The city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. What about Tacoma? Say it again. As Christine likes to call it, Tecompton. Jesus came the first time as the King of Peace. He comes the second time in a very different way, right? As we start Holy Week this week, this is the grand entrance in which Luke leaves nothing to the imagination about who Jesus is and or what he comes to do. In fact, multiple times already, Jesus has said, this is what I'm going to do. He predicted his own death. In fact, his disciples didn't even believe him at one point. They're like, what? But look at verse 29. Next little section here. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were set ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Do you remember what riding on a colt means? It was a sign of peace. If a king came on a war horse, it was a sign of war. You with me? More importantly, in fact, this fulfills one of the most one of the many prophecies in the Old Testament back in Zechariah. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. One of the beautiful things about Jesus coming to bring peace. Remember even Jesus' own words. Remember what he said he came to do? I came to seek and save the lost. I came to help each one of you have a chance to reconcile with God Almighty. As we sang here, every one of us is in a place where we need our sins forgiven. And here, Zechariah predicts that the true king of Israel would come on this unused colt. And interestingly, when kings came to cities in times of war, they came on war horses. But when a king came on a donkey, it was the ride of peace. He comes to the city of peace. And he comes on the ride of peace. So if Zechariah's prophecy and Jesus is riding on a donkey were too subtle, notice then what the crowds say, right? Picking up in verse 36, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. You remember more than once in the Old Testament, spreading your cloaks on the road was part of how you showed deference to a king. So they spread their cloaks on the road, meaning they knew who he was and what they were declaring him to be. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. More than once in the Bible, you recall what happens when somebody runs into an angel, comes face to face with an angel. And more than once, they bow down to worship. And the angel goes, no, I am not the one to worship. Interestingly, Jesus accepts their worship. Why? Because he's the real deal. Interestingly, the very people who should have known better were the Pharisees. These are like the PhDs of the day, right? The Pharisees would have had probably the entirety of the Pentateuch, what we know of as the first five books of the Bible, would have had that memorized, right? If anyone should have known who the king was, it was the Pharisees. And yet, they weren't here to celebrate the king. They were looking for a way to crucify him. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Do not allow them to worship you." And he replies, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Next time you read through the Old Testament, I would encourage you to look for themes of stones. All four Gospels have this story, but only Luke talks about the stones. You might remember in the book of Deuteronomy. After all of the blessings and curses, God is laying out covenant language with his people Israel. And after says, "Hey, obey, here's all the blessings. Disobey, here are all the curses." And then he goes on to say, "And I bring heaven and earth, heaven and the land as a witness." You get into the book of Joshua, seven different times there are stones, right? Like they cross the Jordan and they make a pile of stones. And when they say, "What are those stones for?" And it says, "So you can tell your children this is what we did based on what God did for us." And you get to the very end of the book of Joshua, and you remember Joshua is recounting for them the covenant that God has made with them. And he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And they're like, we will. And he's like, "No, you can't." And they're like, "Yes, we will." And he takes a stone and he writes the covenant on there and says, "This will be a witness." So here we got Jesus, the Pharisees who should have known better. And he says, "If they don't praise me, the stones will cry out." The stones, the very earth, is a witness to who I am. All of creation speaks to who the Lord is. As we approach Easter, one of the things that I think is the most powerful to do is to remember that we don't serve a God who is just some abstract idea. Christianity is rooted in actual, real history. And if there's any one thing that each and every one of us should do or think about over this course of this next week as we approach Easter, it would be to prepare ourselves in faithfulness and prayer. Because Jesus came the first time as the King of Peace. But he returns on a war horse. Jesus returns on a war horse. Because there will be a day when every knee will bow and declare who Jesus is. And some will be just praising. And some will not. Do you realize the danger that you face if you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want for you today to experience peace with the Lord, to experience peace with your neighbor, to experience peace within. Jesus is Lord. He's the King of Peace. Let's pray. Holy Heavenly Father, we rejoice, Lord. And if we don't, the rocks would cry out and declare who you are. And Lord, I don't know if there's somebody listening right now, or maybe is listening to the recording at some point. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just keep knocking on that door. And Lord, for each and every person in this room, Lord, I just pray that this week would not pass by without us just recognizing how profound it is that the God and creator of the entire universe sent his Son to do something that we could not do for ourselves. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.